Hello and welcome to the latest SearchWindDevelopment.com podcast. I am the site editor, Brian Eastwood. Today I am chatting with Pete Brown, who is a project manager and architect at Applied Information Sciences. AIS is a managed Microsoft Gold partner and has been an early adopter of Microsoft technology for quite some time. For example, the company was working with .NET 1.0 before it was released, and Pete was even touring the country giving two-day seminars on using the alpha and beta code. More recently, AIS has been doing some work with Moss 2007 and Silverlight in creating an application for a group called Conservation International. Thanks for your time today, Pete. What was the sort of application that you were going to be that you built for Conservation International?
Sure. We built a carbon calculator. And that's a type of application that takes in information about where you live and how many people live in your house and how many miles you drive a day on your car and all sorts of other information like that, and sort of mashes that all together with some government data and comes up with, you know, what your total carbon output is for the course of the year. Takes that information, creates a suggested donation amount out of that, and uses that to fund projects on the other side of the world that'll soak up an equivalent amount of carbon.
Oh, sounds pretty cool. And I remember we met earlier this year at a conference called Remix 07 Boston, and you were saying you guys had a pretty tight window for doing this because you had to finish it prior to the big Live Earth celebrations that were going on.
Right. And that was all going on 7/7/7. So we had, the typical kind of two guys, 2 month type of project where we had a really hard stop to make sure that this was launched in time for that huge conservation celebration.
Now, sort of given the short time frame that you had, what kind of drew you to, Silverlight as a sort of framework for building this application, even specifically since it was, an alpha version of the product?
We had originally started the project in Silverlight 1.0, and Silverlight was a given for this because Microsoft wanted to demonstrate a win, which is why they pulled us in on this to showcase some of the new technology they had. So Steve Suing and I started it in Silverlight 1.0, and I have to admit we are both C# guys. We're not JavaScript gurus, and so we quickly realized as we're going through that. We would be able to be more productive and be able to get something out faster and of a higher quality if we switched over to 1.1 with its full support of the CLR and the C# language.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So about a third to halfway through the project, we approached Microsoft and said, hey, we've gone fairly far in 1.0. We've got the XAML and everything set up. You guys can see this. But we'd like to consider moving over to the recently announced 1.1. Which was just launched at Mix 07. We had some discussions around that. There were some concerns about go-live licenses and support from the Silverlight team who's trying to get out a 1.0 release. But in the end, we were able to retool to 1.1 about halfway through and become the first Silverlight 1.1 application in production. And we did that because we had literally thousands of lines of code as part of this application for all the business rules and the algorithms and integration with SharePoint. And it made a lot of sense to do that in C# as opposed to trying to kind of shoehorn that all into JavaScript. So we could have done it all in 1.0, but we just found much more productive in 1.1.
Well, makes sense. Do what you know instead of trying to reinvent the wheel. One of the other things you noticed is you had mentioned was that you were using also SharePoint 2007 for this project, which I guess was done in part because Conservation International itself was moving over its infrastructure to Moss 2007. How did that go, and how did that kind of work along with the work you were doing with Silverlight?
They were moving all of their public properties over to Moss 2007, and that was really a great way for them to, get used to some of the technologies involved in using Moss. We came in and had sort of a two-prong approach to that. The first thing that was a given was hosting the application itself in Moss. If we wanted to surface it on their public website, we were going to have to be somehow surfaced through Moss.
Mm-hmm.
The second part, though, which was not a hard requirement, but it's something that we did just to go a bit above and beyond and stretch to both see what Silverlight could accomplish as well as make the client happy in this case, was do a lot of back-end integration with SharePoint 2007.
Oh, okay.
So we made the application completely configurable, like all of the assets for video and media and images that are pulled down and displayed in the application are all coming from SharePoint document libraries. all of the configuration information and all of the strings that show up, the messages that they have, which maybe we don't want to call them marketing messages, but they are essentially marketing messages that show up in there. That's all driven from Moss as well. And we did have some challenges with that. We had challenges dealing with form-based authentication, which mm-hmm. We didn't get to solve for the first release, but we did solve, Steve really solved that for the subsequent release over the summer. But overall, it was pretty smooth. And we even got to throw in a little bit of link in there to, aggregate all that SharePoint data. So that was a lot of fun.
So in addition to that sort of SharePoint integration, what were some of the parts of the project that kind of, worked smoothly for you or you seemed to kind of work better or faster than you may have anticipated, when you kind of first set out doing things?
Well, first of all, it's really the tools and the product itself. A lot of folks really get scared off by a 1.x or an alpha designation on a product.
Yeah.
And, we have to admit, we were a little wary of it at first as well, but, we've dealt with these types of things before. But I got to tell you, this was totally different than any other project we've done, and that's because even though Silverlight is 1.1 and 1.0 at the time, it's using a stripped-down version of the .NET 3.5 CLR, mm-hmm. which is, proven and has had quite a long pedigree going back to the late 90s now, as well as a technology from WPF, which this is now in its second rev, something else that's pretty mature. And so we were pretty amazed at just how smoothly most of that worked, even with the beta versions of Orcus and stuff at the time. The other thing that really helped us was the community. So, anybody who's interested mm-hmm. in Silverlight should go to silverlight.net. And we're able to bounce ideas off other people as well as, give a lot of feedback from, our own experience in using this technology. And then the last part that really helped us go smoothly was not so much the technology, but some of the folks that we worked with at Microsoft, like Lamont Harrington and Mark Schweigert, who were really a huge help in getting us started and getting things going early on. And Steve from our own team is somebody I've always been able to count on to kind of deep dive into technology very quickly. And when you're doing early adopter type projects, you need somebody who can deep dive into that. So all those things really, contributed to make this project go a lot smoother than you would think, considering the level of technology and the early adopter status of it.
Yeah, it's good to hear. Having that good support staff around a product always makes it help. And it seems that the more people you have on your side, that the better something's going to end up going. One of the things you had mentioned during your talk at Remix 07 in Boston was that sort of the process of building a Silverlight application seemed to be a little bit more like building an WinForms app than in building a sort of more traditional ASP.NET app. What exactly, were you trying to get at there? And I was wondering if you could kind of expand a little bit on that sort of idea.
Sure. I really enjoyed that Remix talk, and unfortunately I didn't get to speak more about that particular topic, but I think it's one of the most important ones when you're looking at Silverlight applications. And this is one place where if you're a person who's been doing smart client apps or Windows Form type applications in the past, you're really going to have a leg up here. Because if you look back a little bit to maybe some of the things that Silverlight's, at least in theory, based on, like Ajax and other similar technologies, those are really attempts to make a browser application function like a desktop application. Right. And so the model for how you update that data and how you display that data and how you deal with user input in those is different than the typical submit and post back type process that we would do with an ASP.NET application. When you develop a Silverlight app, all your states client side, how you approach storing that state is different than you would with an ASP.NET application, but it's almost identical to the approach that you would take if you're developing a WPF or another kind of traditional desktop application.
Oh, okay.
So, I think for those reasons, Silverlight has, huge potential in the business apps area. Lots of folks are stuck writing web apps where you've necessarily ASP.NET type web apps don't fit. They're just there because that's what everybody is asking for and they want to have the ease of deployment and whatnot.
Oh, okay.
And Silverlight really changes that by giving you a good cross-platform application environment that runs in the browser, runs on Linux and Windows and Mac, et cetera, and gives you a desktop type model that really eliminates a lot of the baggage that you have to deal with on typical web apps.
All right, that makes a lot of sense, and it kind of sounds like what we've been hearing about the aim with a lot of the next generation web application technology is to mirror that desktop experience. So, now, as with any project, there are always a few things that you kind of look back and wish maybe you'd done a little bit differently or things had gone a little bit differently. Was there anything with this application that you built that, you know, you look back and think, you know, maybe we should have done this instead of that, or that instead of this, or anything in that regard?
Sure, there's always a couple of those types of things in there. With future versions of Silverlight, there's tons of stuff that we would definitely do differently, you know, based upon the model that's available at the time. But the main thing that I think we would have done differently this time, given where the technology was and what CI's workload was spend a bit more time on video editing and coding up front. We ended up with just two videos out there in this application just because of time constraints, and that really didn't show off some of the things that we had built in and the ability to easily manage those videos and associate them with different areas on the virtual Earth map and whatnot. They can put in more videos anytime they want, but it would have been nice to have actually launched with some more. And the other thing was to make more use of graphics and animation, really kind of light up the UI a bit. In the 2 months that we had to do this, if you consider that we switched over to 1.1 around the end of May, beginning of June, you know, we really ended up with just over a month of doing application development. We're really focusing a lot on learning a new technology and trying to get something functional and halfway decent. I think we could have done more interesting things with the graphics and the animation and made that a little bit more interesting. And that's something that I would go back now, given the knowledge I have now, and change at this point, especially since animation performance has improved since the initial alpha.
Yeah. And I also remember during your talk, one of the things you had mentioned was kind of when you were building the application itself, which, you know, as you said, you kind of sort of a step-by-step sort of process, that because the technology is in, you know, in such a new state, that you kind of reverted back to an old VB construct to kind of move yourself through the application and sort of building out forms. So you could kind of talk a little bit about what you did there.
Right. So back in like VB5, VB6 time, when we were just really starting to understand user controls and what they could be used for, I was speaking about a pattern of using user controls for screens, where each page or each screen of, like, say, a wizard or of an Outlook-type application was not implemented as a form, but actually implemented as the user control.
Oh, okay.
And that's something that gave you, you know, the ability to develop each one of those separately and be able to design the UI separately and kind of have each of those manage their own state and other things that we would normally do with a form, but be able to host those in another type of container. Going through and doing the initial UI in Silverlight, I started seeing some of the same patterns emerging for how they wanted the application to work. And there's lots of wizardy type pieces in there where we have to walk users through steps. And it made a lot of sense to follow the same kind of model that we did back then. So I put that out there. So far, it's worked pretty well. And I've got some stuff on my blog that explains that in more detail, as well as obviously the talk you're talking about.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool. Is there anything else you wanted to add? Anything we didn't touch upon that you think is worth noting here?
Sure. Just that this was, a great application to work on and a really exciting technology. I think we're at a time where, there's a lot of focus out there being paid to, the designers and more of the flash type applications that you can do in Silverlight.
Yeah.
But there's a huge potential, again, for business applications in this area, especially when we look at getting some of the controls that come in Silverlight that weren't there for the initial releases, or even using some of the stuff from companies like Component One and other ones out there. And I'm really looking forward to working on some other Silverlight applications going forward.
All right. Well, as I said, thanks again for your time today, Pete. For those of you listening, we have links to Pete's blog on the landing page for this podcast, as well as links to the carbon calculator itself, so you can check that out and see how the application moves from beginning to end. And we also have links to Silverlight.net and other related technologies. So once again, thanks for joining us and telling your story, Pete. We hope it'll be pretty helpful for everybody listening out there.
Thank you, Brian. It's been great.
Okay. So that concludes the latest SearchWindDevelopment.com podcast. And this is Brian Eastwood, site editor, signing off.